If you picked up the New York Times this morning, the headline reads, Beijing warns of chaos if Hong Kong protests persist. Reading quickly from the Chris Buckley article, the Chinese Communist Party on Thursday condemned the street protests that have engulfed parts of Hong Kong and gave its firm endorsement to the city's beleaguered leader. In a front-page commentary, People's Daily, the main newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party, they accused pro-democracy groups of threatening to drag Hong Kong into chaos. And the article goes on to describe perhaps a hardline approach that the government in Beijing is going to take towards the protesters as the dramatic images of these massive protests throughout the streets of Hong Kong continue. And joining us on the line now to help shed light on this and specifically the reaction from Beijing is Assistant Professor of International and Comparative Labor at Cornell University, Dr. Eli Friedman. Dr. Friedman is the author of the recently published book, Insurgency Trap, Labor Politics in Post-Socialist China, published by Cornell University Press. He also recently wrote in The Nation magazine, Why Hong Kong's Occupy Central Has Beijing Very, Very Scared. Dr. Friedman, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Your article says they're scared, and then the New York Times today says, at least according to the daily newspaper, that perhaps they're considering some hardline approach. What are your thoughts first about this report?
Well, it's interesting because there was a number of days ago when there was a major protest at the government offices. They cracked down. They used police force, including tear gas, batons, pepper spray. And that didn't play well in Hong Kong or really anywhere. And so it's been this delicate balancing act all along for the government, how much they want to use repression versus how much they want to just kind of wait this thing out. And the report, I haven't had a lot of time to look through everything, but it seems to indicate now that Beijing is not going to back down on the central demand or central two demands of the protesters. One is for genuine universal suffrage. And the second one is that the chief executive of Hong Kong, who's the highest official, CY Leung, that he stepped down. And because there's this, because they've published this piece in the People's Daily, this is the official paper of the Communist Party, this seems to suggest that they're not going to compromise on either of those points.
Mm-hmm. And your sense as to how that might unfold? I mean, I know it's playing a kind of a, you know, trying to put a crystal ball on, but how that might unfold, because these protesters seem like they're pretty committed to continuing.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's not surprising. The party's sent a lot of messages that they're not interested in compromise. So the protesters have been talking about what they're going to do to try to respond to this. They just held a press conference, and it ended just a few minutes ago, so I haven't been able to read the reports that came out of it. But some of the leaders of the student movement, as well as Occupy Central, we're speaking on this issue. But there have been suggestions that there's going to be escalation. Of course, they've always emphasized that they're going to maintain peace. But they've suggested that they will either occupy government buildings or blockade the outside of them, including the local government office, the central government office, and the main offices of that chief executive. So This will add further disruption to operation of the government.
We're speaking with Eli Friedman, Assistant Professor of International and Comparative Labor at Cornell University, in his article in The Nation, Why Hong Kong's Occupy Central Has Beijing Very, Very Scared, was published mid-September, on September 12th. And referring to that article, you talk about the heart of the discontent of the protesters, that it's reflective of many recent protests around the world, basically people angry with those who wield power, wield resources, and wield money. Give us a little context for those who perhaps are not totally up to date with what's happening. How did these protests become so large, and the origins of the movement itself?
Well, it's one of the interesting things about this recent article that they wrote just today in the People's Daily, where they said, well, look, these protests are leading to chaos in Hong Kong, and they might hurt Hong Kong's economic prosperity. And the truth of the matter is that Hong Kong's economy has certainly grown rapidly over the past 10 or 15 years, but things haven't gotten much better for the overwhelming majority of Hong Kong. So Hong Kong has perhaps the highest inequality of any developed economy in the world. It certainly far outpaces the U.S. A major issue that they have there is the cost of real estate. It's certainly significantly more expensive to buy an apartment in Hong Kong than it is in even in New York City. So for most people, they find that their wages are not going up. Cost of living continues to go up. Hong Kong still has no universal pension scheme, sort of a social security. They just passed the minimum wage. Recently, the minimum wage in Hong Kong is about $3.60 an hour for a cost of living that's higher than New York. There's no collective bargaining rights. So Hong Kong has come to be a place which, you know, it is a very developed economy, but the overwhelming benefits of this economy have gone to a really small number of people who, not surprisingly, are not interested in having more democracy because the current situation is working pretty well for them. So I think for a lot of people, they see their sort of opportunities in life deteriorating, and they don't see anybody within the political system that's speaking on their behalf. So that, as far as I'm concerned, there is sort of the underlying dynamics that have produced this protest.
Dr. Friedman, so who is making up Occupy Central, and who are some of the allies? Is it just the students, or is labor involved, others in the community?
You know, one of the interesting things about Hong Kong is that since it reverted to Chinese rule in 1997, it has maintained a very vibrant civil society, and this makes it quite distinct from what's going on in mainland China. So there's a lot of organizations, small organizations that are involved, including NGOs, including labor unions. You know, Occupy Central and the Student Federation have been getting the most press, and they've certainly have an important symbolic role. But there's a very diverse group of protesters beyond just the students. Now, as far as unions go, the Hong Kong Confederation of Trade Unions, which is one of a couple union federations within Hong Kong, has been actively involved. They initially called for a general strike beginning on September 29th. They only represent a segment of the Hong Kong workforce, and there has been some response from the teachers' union, as well as the union that represents social workers in the city, and the other major one was the union that represents Swire Workers, which is the Coca-Cola distributor within the city. But so far, the general strike has not expanded much beyond that, and that's something which I think is really interesting to watch. Particularly would be the reaction of the dock workers, who had a major multi-week strike which took place last year. If they were to join in the protest, that would certainly change the dynamics a lot.
Would there be any, or are there any similar manifestations of dissent within mainland China? I mean, obviously you pointed to the, you know, large civil society, active civil society that has existed in Hong Kong, and if that were the case, are they bolstered? Are they energized by what's happening in Hong Kong, or is the threat of clampdown even more serious now precisely because of what's happening in Hong Kong?
Right. So, you know, one of the interesting things about mainland China is that many of the problems that I've just described about Hong Kong, including major inequality, lack of political voice, et cetera, are precisely the same in mainland China. So that's why the government in Beijing is so concerned that this will spread. China has a huge number of protests every year. Workers going on strikes which are not legal, so they're wildcat strikes, peasants protesting over having their land stolen. So there already is a huge amount of discontent, and there already are a huge number of protests in China. The distinction with Hong Kong is that these protests are not explicitly political in the way that the protests are in Hong Kong. They're not demanding electoral reform. So since the protests have really escalated in Hong Kong, we haven't seen much in terms of the way of activity of directly responding to what's happening in Hong Kong and demanding similar kinds of political reforms in mainland China. There have been a few small-scale actions where small groups of people have taken pictures of themselves holding signs saying, "We support Hong Kong," posting it online and things like that. But the government has been very wary about that. You can go online and look at statistics, and their internet censorship has spiked
really sharply.
Yeah. As they're trying to clean up any mention of Hong Kong or protest on the internet. And certainly if you were going to get a couple hundred people together and go down to the local government offices in mainland China and say, you know, we also want meaningful elections, that would get you in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. What about the issue of foreign interference within the protests? I was reading some articles earlier this week pointing to that the government, the central government in China, have indicated that there's evidence of foreign meddling, a kind of a swipe, I believe, at the United States and its so-called pro-democracy intentions within China. Your thoughts about that? Is that something realistic, or is this truly a domestic, homegrown movement?
This is meant to distract attention from these totally real problems, mm-hmm. that have nothing to do with the involvement of the United States. Now, whether the American National Endowment for Democracy or some other government agency is supporting some civil society groups in Hong Kong, you know, that may be the case, but it's totally insufficient to explain why you have hundreds of thousands of people on the streets in Hong Kong. And when Beijing uses this kind of line, I frankly find it pretty condescending to the protesters, right? Essentially implying that they're just stooges of American imperialism, that they don't have their own thoughts, they don't have their own grievances. And, you know, the American influence overseas oftentimes is quite powerful, but there's no conceivable way that the American government is secretly orchestrating these mass demonstrations and occupations. So, again, Beijing is really just doing this to distract from the fact that people have real economic and real political grievances that are underlying this, and that derive precisely from the kinds of policies that Beijing has pursued.
Mm-hmm. As we close out, what should we be looking at in the next couple of days and in the next week or so as these protests continue and as we start seeing these hints of a clampdown or at least a harder line from the Chinese government?
Well, I think the really interesting thing is going to be, how is the movement going to escalate? How are they going to continue to exact some sorts of political cost on the Hong Kong government and on Beijing while maintaining peace? And I think they want to be sure to make sure that that if there is violence, that it's seen clearly as the government bringing it down upon the protesters rather than the reverse. So hopefully they will be able to move in this direction and continue to maintain public support.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Eli Friedman, Assistant Professor of International and Comparative Labor at Cornell University. He's the author of the recently published book, Insurgency Trap, Labor Politics in Post-Socialist China. And he also recently wrote Why Hong Kong's Occupy Central Has Beijing Very, Very Scared in The Nation magazine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.